You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome to Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com with certified financial planner Hans Scheil, best-selling author and financial planner helping families finish well for over 40 years. On Finishing Well, we'll examine both biblical and practical knowledge to assist families in finishing well, including discussions on managing Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes. Now, let's get started with Finishing Well.
Well, today on Finishing Well, we have a really interesting topic for you. Life insurance, mass hysteria. And I want you to just think with me for a minute now. If you were in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, Jesus came in and people hailed him as the Messiah. And by the end of the week, mass hysteria. Right?
Sure.
Crucify him. And what was behind the mass hysteria clearly was an enemy who saw the weak-minded and pointed them in directions that just are absolutely crazy. So Hans and I have been talking about life insurance before the show. We've been talking about this idea. And you brought up a phenomenal thing about the coronavirus, right? Like if you probably went out and surveyed 20 people and said, what do you think about the drug companies? You know, prescription drug companies. Like, what, you know, would you count them as like below a car salesman or, you know, lawyer? Where do you put them in the hierarchy of things, right?
People would say they're downright evil. I mean, just the person on the street in many situations.
Right, right. But with the coronavirus, I just want you to think about this with me for a minute, that with that going on, right this minute, aren't we kind of glad that we have all these very well-paid, you know, researchers that are working on creating some type of vaccine, right?
And they will find it, and it'll be invented here in America, okay? Most likely, maybe not, but most likely it'll be here. We happen to have a lot of those people over in the Raleigh-Durham area in the Research Triangle Park, but you got them all over the place. And, you know, the point I was making is people don't realize that we have all these wonder drugs and miracle drugs. And how did we get those? Is that they were created through research, and most research fails. I mean, most of the times when they're trying to come out with new drugs, they just don't work. You know, they test them on animals and whatever, is they just have a theory and then they don't work. And then once they do find something that works, they got all those side effects that they put on TV, and sometimes when you listen to those, you say, man, I don't want that. But then they got to go to the FDA, and it's pretty easy. Then you look at what people are charging and Medicare Part D. I mean, there's reason for all the stuff that's in the news, and if somebody really is in the business of hating drug companies or whatever, I mean, I'm going to say, I've heard enough that I guess I could be there too, but I always want to go to the other side of things when there's hysteria going on. And I just want to say, you know, I mean, what good are they? Why do we still have them? Why don't they just shut them down? Okay. And it's just, you know, if they're charging $700 a pill or a treatment or something, well, why is that? Why don't they just make them lower it to $20? And, you know, the answer to that is they've created something that saves people's lives. And people really know that. All these people, why are we talking about drug companies today?
Well, the idea behind mass hysteria is obviously the best thing that ever came to the world caused mass hysteria. I mean, it just clearly did. That, you know, the people literally crucified him as a result of mass hysteria.
And, sure.
And so when you begin to see things, and I saw them just today, I mean, this morning, I sent you an article by the Motley Fool talking about that you should run like the plague from, you know, life insurance, whole life insurance is the, you know, and at the same time I was thinking, this is mass hysteria. I mean, it just, clearly there was nothing in that led any sufficient reason.
Well, I even asked you that. Tell me the facts. Tell me what the facts were in the article to support that.
The facts were high commissions, whatever that meant. I don't have any idea. And that, you know, low return on investment. There was nothing there that just jumped out at me that was like, oh, man, yeah, I need to run from this like the plague. It was that, you know, that term insurance was the answer. But as I'm sitting there looking at the situation in my own life going, this is crazy because there is no term policy for a 64-year-old man that is going to help me, you know, if I need long-term care and the many things that really I'm really looking forward to in my whole life insurance to go, you know, this is really cool. I never thought of being able to access some of the benefits of my own life insurance policy. But those are some of the things that you can now do within whole life insurance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the IRS and the tax code and the tax policy, I mean, Section 101A, I mean, if you just Google that, it gives you the whole tax basis and tax advantage of life insurance that's been around since over 100 years. It was in the teens, around World War I, that was put in there, and it's remained intact. I mean, life insurance, just starting as a place to put money, is a wonderful place to put money, okay? For somebody that has a long horizon, okay? I mean, it's a long-term proposition. In fact, anytime the IRS has rules on stuff and limits on stuff, that usually tells me that it's something pretty good that I had to get invested in. And the IRS and the rules will not allow you to front-end load a life insurance policy. Like, you couldn't hand me $100,000 today and I plump it all in a life insurance policy. If you could do that, but then you would be taxed as soon as you would try to get at any of that cash value later on. So that would only be good for you in death. So there's limits and rules. And so if you're really going to do this properly, is to buy a life insurance policy properly, you're going to need to spread the money in there really over a period of, you know, of 10 years, let's just say. So if you wanted to get $100,000 into a life insurance policy, you're going to need to pay $10,000 a year for 10 years. Okay. But when you actually do that and you run the numbers, which I do all the time, it's just phenomenal what you end up with. I mean, for starters, you're going to get a guaranteed return. That might only be 3%, but it's 3%, I mean, that you're going to be guaranteed. You could make more. We could get into how that is. But importantly, you're not going to pay any tax on that growth. And if you withdraw that cash and you do that properly, not all at once, not all of it, and you do it in such a way that the policy doesn't lapse, you can do that tax-free. So you can have a tax-free savings account that you got to pay into over time with a guaranteed return. You can't lose any money on it because it's all guaranteed by the insurance company. And then to boot, is you're going to die at some point. If you die at a real old age, it's still a good proposition. If you die at a young age or you die somewhere in between, this has been the best investment you ever made in your life. So life insurance would be very easy to sell to people if we didn't need to overcome these biases that people have. And the biases are spread by people that many times just don't know what they're talking about, and they're just repeating what somebody else said.
And it's essentially mass hysteria because, again, you know, Satan would like there to be lots of worry, and he would like there to be lots of turmoil, and some of the things that we've talked about on the show time and again, that life insurance can put in place for a family to have essentially an explosion of money exactly when they need it, for somebody to have long-term health care and still have no exposure if they were to never need it, and those things that clearly are wonderful things for the family.
They are. Now, certainly, life insurance can be abused. It can be abused by the salespeople. It can be sold in the wrong amount to the wrong person, in the wrong financial situation. There's many times that whole life gets sold to people when they really need to buy term because they have a limited budget or at least a perceived limited need, like a young family on a very tight budget. And they sell them whole life and they don't get enough insurance. And so, I'm not trying to explain them as Lily White, okay, or us, if you include me in the industry. I'm simply saying that these mass hysteria articles, please just look to the opposite and say, is the opposite true? And I'm just going to tell you that I've been fortunate enough to know a lot of very successful and people that have accumulated wealth, and I'm sure many of you have, or some of you may have yourself. And I'm just going to tell you that most wealthy people that I know, affluent people, they own lots of life insurance. And, if it's so bad, why, they're not stupid. And what I'm also going to add, if this article was true, why wouldn't people that have lots of life insurance or whole life insurance, why don't they say, man, now that I know that, I'm going to drop it. Call that insurance company, cancel that policy. Or why do the state regulators even allow it? I mean, this is just nuts.
Yeah, and the really scary part about it is, what if somebody does let their policy lapse? Because then you really are falling into the hands of Satan, so to speak, because that's where you really hurt yourself and your family.
And you're really turning the insurance company into what they're describing them. The life insurance company is going to make more money off somebody that buys a policy, pays for it for 15 years. They're not dead yet, and then they drop it. And then they give them the whatever's cash value is in there, and they never have to pay a death claim. That's a real profitable venture for the insurance company. Much more profitable than the guy that carries it for several decades and then dies and they pay off his beneficiaries. So, I mean, those people have never really been on the other end of a family that you're handing a check to. Most people start crying when I bring it out to them.
No, I would think. And
so when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about life insurance in retirement and why some people use it as an accumulation vehicle and a vehicle to pay less in taxes.
Right. And it's also one of the 7 worries tab. If you go to cardinalguide.com, you're going to see that there's life insurance and estate planning, right? It's one of those that you could get the download of Hans's book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, which you can order there at the website, or you can go on Amazon and get it, or even email Hans@cardinalguide.com. So we'll be back in a minute with much more of life insurance, mass hysteria, impending doom.
Hans and I would love to take our show on the road to your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Here's a chance for you to advance the kingdom through financial resources by leveraging Hans' expertise in qualified charitable contributions, veterans' aid and attendance, IRAs, Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care. Just go to cardinalguide.com and contact Hans to schedule a live recording of Finishing Well at your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Contact Hans at cardinalguide.com. That's cardinalguide.com.
Welcome back to Finishing Well with certified financial planner Hans Scheil. Today's show has been on life insurance mass hysteria, but, getting past the impending doom that we've been talking about in the first segment. I guess the question really is, Hans, why would I want life insurance in retirement?
For a multitude of reasons. I mean, first of all, it's can be an alternative asset. I mean, if we're wanting to put your money in different things and in different places and with different institutions, a life insurance policy is a good place to start. That is, if you have enough money that we're going to be putting it in different places, you need a long time horizon if you're going to be putting it there for the cash value's sake. I think the main reason, though, that you're going to want life insurance is that somebody is going to suffer a financial loss at your death. Now, for you and I, that's easy. Assuming we go before our wife, I go before my wife, a life insurance payment is going to be made to her. So for those of you that are married out there, whether it's the husband or the wife that goes first, the survivor is going to need some additional money. Why is that? Well, the Social Security checks, one of them is going to go away. You've got final expenses at your retirement. Many of you...
You mean at your death?
At your death.
Well, that's a real retirement.
Yeah. That's funny. Thanks for correcting me. At your death, I mean, just many of you have not shared with your children your whole financial situation. There's just, I know a lot of people say, what are you talking about? I call on you folks. I mean, I call on people, and most people, they've shared a little something, but a lot of folks just haven't. Your kids are going to inherit some level of a mess when you die. And especially if you die suddenly, because most people, if they're dying slowly or they have some illness, they're going to start to get their affairs in order. But when somebody just passes away quickly, there's a mess. And I just, at any death, there's a need for money. They got to pay for a funeral. I got all this in my book. You got to pay for just to keep up the house. I mean, you still got to make the mortgage payment for, or the rent payment, or, I mean, they just don't come lock the place up the next week. You got to pay the power bill. You got to pay somebody to mow the yard. You got to pay an attorney.
I just tell you that, oh, my goodness, you know, you think, well, it won't cost but a few bucks to put the announcement in the newspaper. Well, think again. The newspapers know what a racket that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, for one city for my dad was like $450, some crazy amount of money just to make the death announcement in the newspaper.
Yeah, it's expensive. The attorney fees, even for just a small estate, and you got to go to an attorney if you haven't set things up properly. So it is really nice to take an amount of like $25,000 of life insurance and name one of your children or name your spouse if you're married and then put the child down as a contingent beneficiary and then tell them, this money is to take care of matters when I die very quickly, like my funeral, that kind of thing. We can even have part of that sent straight to the funeral home if you want to get down to that level. I mean, I could go on and on when you're asking me, like, why would I want life insurance when I'm retired? Create all kinds of reasons. You may, you know, we have lots of clients out there that are on their second marriage, okay? And so they have children who are not the children of their current spouse. And then that spouse, their spouse may have children from their first marriage. And most of the clients I deal with are not wealthy enough when the first one of them dies that they can leave money to their kids. Most of them have to leave all the money to the spouse because they don't have enough to start passing it out at the first death. And so a small life insurance policy to give your kids an amount so that they get a check, they get some sort of inheritance from you is wonderful. You may want to leave it to your church. I mean, I could just go on and on and on where life insurance, I never have beneficiaries asking me any questions. They just, you know, was this term, was this whole life insurance? How old was the policy? How much did dad pay for this? Nothing. They just start crying and they say thank you. And I'm telling you, to have one of your children leave your funeral or the whole get together of the family and to leave there knowing they're going to get a small check for something is just a nice thing to do. And so we solve that second marriage. We have other people that are on their second marriage and they go the other way. They've gone to great pains to leave all their stuff to their kids so that the stepmother doesn't get it, or the stepmother is leaving it to her kids so that her new husband doesn't get anything. People, I have run into that a lot set up, is people that get married when they're older and their kids are older, they go to great pains to make sure, because everybody doesn't think the other one's marrying for the money. But they forget about their new spouse that they're in love with. So then there's life insurance. That's a time when we can use term, because after 10 years, that'll be all better. I mean, or 20 years or something, or maybe not, but it's just So people that have things set up the other way, then we get some life insurance where we mutually buy it and leave each other as the beneficiary.
Yeah, and then there's all the hybrids.
Oh, sure. I mean, we haven't even talked about long-term care. So one of the biggest objections to people that are trying to get logical about long-term care or long-term care insurance is they just decide it's not worth the money. It's too expensive. I may pay into this for years and then never collect anything out of it. And so that's all true. There's another form that I personally own. It's called a hybrid life insurance, or it's a life insurance / long-term care. A hybrid is putting two things together. And this was really made possible by the Pension Protection Act in 2008. So this type of policy is really only about 12 years old now. They didn't come out with any of them until 2010. And what this simply does is you're buying a life insurance policy that's just like any other life insurance policy. When you die, it's going to pay the face amount to whoever you have named as the beneficiary. But the living benefit on it is you can access the death benefit while you're still alive to pay for either home health care or pay for an assisted living or a nursing home. And you can even buy extension riders. So if you purchase just a $250,000 life insurance policy and you blow through all of that, then you can buy a long-term care extension rider that it'll keep paying for long-term care if you used up all the life insurance. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to use life insurance to fund long-term care. And what's really nice for the naysayers is if you don't ever use it, then the life insurance benefit is going to go to your heirs.
That, I like that that reasoning a lot, that, you know, if a truck come by and take me out, then it really pays off for my estate. But by the same token, it protects my family in another way, you know, if I get to the point where I can't function. And one of the neat things is actually it's good for your spouse too, because, you know, it was one of the things that I guess God gave me the insight to buy a policy for my wife 20 years ago, is it now? I don't know what it was, but it was like, oh my goodness. And I never thought of what that would actually do for Tammy's self-esteem to know that she had that kind of coverage on her own life. And even though it's not a hybrid or nothing fancy about it, it's just a universal life policy, it means a lot to her self-esteem to know that my life is worth something.
Well, and it's just amazing to me. I've been in the life insurance business 43 years. I mean, you just bought some life insurance from me at 64 years old, and you got a few health conditions.
And just a few.
It's still a good bargain. But 43 years ago, when we'd sit down with a guy that's 64 years old, I mean, that life insurance was not a good deal. I mean, it was, for the times, it was a good deal. We'd sell it to people. But what we've got now is that people, you have a long life expectancy. I mean, it's just the insurance companies are able to offer a lot of benefits. And, you know, if you want to load this thing up with cash value accumulation, that wasn't really the goal with yours. But we could have had you paying 2 to 3 times as much for exactly the same thing. But it's not exactly the same thing, because it would be a loaded up savings account. That
works
there.
Like a Roth IRA, right?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, there's a bucket of money that you always talk about. We like buckets of money.
Yeah.
I like that idea of a bucket of money. And essentially, whole life is another kind of bucket.
Yeah, and for tax reasons, we pull from different buckets at different times to smooth out and even out incomes and to really choose the amount of tax we're going to pay every year. I mean, that's what I like. That's really the purpose behind all these different buckets is tax reasons and then the guarantees in some buckets. It really allows us over time to just pull from different areas and deposit in different areas, and is for tax reasons.
But one of the joys of this discussion for me, honestly, Hans, is that God's given us, you know, a sense of, wow, mass hysteria led to the crucifixion of Christ. I mean, it just did. And that when all of a sudden I see a bunch of people running to do something that looks like they're accusing and that kind of stuff, to sit back and go, what really is the motivation that's going on here? And what really might God be doing that I can step in and help? It's a beautiful thing that God gave you a mind gave us all a mind to determine, wow, there's somebody working on something for the coronavirus right this very second. And yeah, they deserve to be paid really well for it, because they're going to save thousands of lives. And isn't that a pretty good thing to know, that God's got somebody going to be up tonight trying to work that out for us? And there's people like that in all sorts of industries.
And the investors are chasing money. I mean, you may think they're trying to save the world, but the investors in those drug vaccines, they're investing in something. It's highly risky, but they're doing it to make money. Now, the researchers might not be doing it just to make money. They could really be doing it to save the world and save illnesses and help people. But somewhere in the line, somebody's doing it out of some level of greed, and that's just the way our society works. And just to hold them up and say they're evil in the scheme of things, I just don't think that helps any of us. We need them investing money in that vaccine right now.
That's the case. And if you want to know more, we obviously will hope that you would go to Cardinal Guide. Don't forget the guide after cardinal.com. Check out Hans's book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, which of course has the 7 worries tab, which we're hoping that you don't worry, so you'll finish well. And one of those being life and insurance and investments. Thank you so much, Hans. It was fun.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com. Visit CardinalGuide.com for free downloads of this show or previous shows on topics such as Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes, as well as Hans' best-selling book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and The Workbook. Once again, for dozens of free resources, past shows, or to get Hans' book, go to CardinalGuide.com. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for future shows, click on the Finishing Well radio show on the website and send us a word. Once again, that's CardinalGuide.com. CardinalGuide.com.